enjoyment in my own heart this morning as I sat in the prayer meeting and looked out and saw the waves, remembering just how beautiful a scene we used to enjoy on a Sunday morning, but also to listen to the various folk pray about the many new things that are happening here. And I look back with a sense of joy in my own heart for the time of ministry that we had here, and for the memory of that time, and for the memory of actually working alongside so many of you over the years that we were here. It is a joy to be back and see what God continues to do, and we trust that God will bless us as we look at His Word together. We want to look together this morning at Psalm number 16. It's a psalm of confidence. But if I am really being honest with you, as I come to this psalm, it doesn't really describe me. I struggle with having confidence in God. During the daytime, whether at work or at home, as circumstances confront me, I couldn't really say that I always have that peaceful, quiet confidence in God. And even if the circumstances are particularly stressful, they can keep me awake at night. And I couldn't say that I have a peaceful, quiet confidence in God during those nighttime hours. And if I struggle with confidence in God during the day and during the night, it only gets worse when I think of my inevitable death. Will it be illness, or heart problems, or just an accident? It's not a very pleasant activity to contemplate the day and the manner of your death, and I certainly don't do that with any air of confidence at all. In fact, the only part of this psalm that I can really identify with is the cry for help in the first verse. Keep me safe, my God. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. Out of my worry, out of my stress, out of my doubt, out of my lack of confidence, I have no difficulty whatsoever in crying out for help, looking for safety, looking for security. Lord, I would cry, keep me safe, because I have a real issue with my lack of confidence. And Lord, what have you ever done to help me with this lack of confidence? John, I have made provision for you and your fellow Christians to help you with this lack of confidence by giving you this Psalm 16. I knew that my people would struggle with their lack of confidence in me, and so I have given you a song, I have given you a prayer of confidence, and this is something that I want you to sing, this is something that I want you to pray. But does that just simply mean that if I sing a prayer, or sing a song about confidence in God, that will help me to be more confident in God? Yes, I think that's what Psalms are saying. It really will. You see, we need to consider what we do when we sing. Sometimes we sing and we think that all we're merely doing is singing and praising God. And yes, of course, that is the grand purpose of singing in corporate worship. But there is more to singing than that. Not only do we sing to God, we sing to ourselves, and we sing to one another. You know those verses in Ephesians and Colossians that speak about psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? It says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. How do you teach one another? Through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude. So while I'm singing, I'm teaching. While I'm singing, I'm learning. Not only do we sing to God, but we sing to ourselves and to one another to encourage one another. We sing so that we might make truth memorable. We sing in order that we might sing these truths into our hearts. And of course, when we sing in congregational worship, Christ is present with us. Christ is present in a special way in congregational worship that is different to all other times in our lives. Christ gives this special promise that where two or three are gathered together in His name, that there He will be in the midst. When we sing, Christ is the divine song singer in the midst of His people, singing over us, singing through us, singing in us. And as we sing through Christ. And of course, our prayer and our praise is mediated by Christ. So if you're a bad singer, if you cannot hold a note, don't mind. Make a noise anyway, because that is mediated through the Lord Jesus Christ, and as it reaches the ear of God, it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as I sing this psalm of confidence, of the truth of confidence in God, the God of resurrection is taken up by the Holy Spirit, moving me from my desolate cry for help to a place of confidence in God. But you say, I can't believe that just singing can make a difference. Well, I would like you to go down to the Dell. Is that still what the ground is called? Where's Janice? St. Mary's. Okay, I'm not a date. Go down to St. Mary's on Saturday and tell them that. You did well against Manchester United, by the way. You go down and onto the terraces and tell the supporters there that singing doesn't make a difference. Of course it makes a difference. They sing and they lift their team, they encourage their team on, they drive their team on to accomplish more. And as we sing truth as part of the people of God in corporate worship, we sing to encourage our own hearts. If you make a habit of reading the book of Psalms, you will notice that about 75% of the Psalms, the people are complaining. So that's helpful for us, isn't it? That's where we are. 75% moaning and lamenting. And sometimes a number of those particular psalms will lament the whole way through to the end, and there doesn't appear to be any light to lighten the darkness at all. In Psalm 16, the moan or cry is restricted here just to verse 1. He calls upon the name of God. Now, in liturgical terms, we would say that that verse is a prayer of invocation, where we invoke the name of God. We call upon the name of God. And that brings the singer into the sanctuary, into God's presence. And God gives the psalmist the sanctuary's perspective on the issues that he faces. We can't now be certain as to the occasion that caused the composition of the psalm, but some would suggest that David wrote it when he was running as a fugitive from King Saul. David, under those circumstances, might well have reason for a lack of confidence during the day. He's on the run. He has no place that he can call home. There is always the danger of ambush. He always seemed to be threatened by death. The danger, of course, multiplied during the nighttime hours. They had to try to snatch some sleep, but all the time running the risk of attack. And whether it was day or night, the danger of death was always there. Now, I think we can divide this psalm up into three different sections, or four, if you like, if you count verse 1 as a separate section when David cries out for help. But in verse 2 to 6, we have confidence in the God of resurrection in the daytime. Confidence in the God of resurrection in the daytime. And then verse 7 to 8, confidence in the God of resurrection in the nighttime. And finally, verse 9 to 11, confidence in the God of resurrection at the time of death. Now, the reason why the theme of resurrection dominates the psalm is because of the promise that you have there in verse 10. You will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. Now, that is applied to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ by both Peter and Paul in the New Testament. Peter in the great sermon delivered on the day of Pentecost, and Paul in his sermon in the synagogue in Antioch. Now, the original setting is certainly the experience of David, but the ultimate fulfillment of this psalm can only be in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. One commentator, speaking generally of the idea of prophecy in the book of Psalms, says the web of prophecy is mainly woven from the personal experiences of the psalmists. But the controlling Spirit of God suddenly or gradually carried them away into realms of thought and feeling wholly beyond their actual circumstances. So the weight of this prophecy and in its New Testament interpretation has got to dominate the whole of the psalm. As we read this Old Testament psalm using New Testament spectacles, returning to the first section, we can learn to have confidence in God through the daytime, through our everyday lives. The psalmist here is caused to reflect upon the relationship that he has with God, and he does that through utilizing three different names for God. The first name for God is found there in verse 1. The psalmist appeals to God using the name of God that refers to the character of God as the strong and the mighty one. Then in verse 2, he uses the name that was first revealed to Moses at that burning bush scene. And it's the name of the covenant-keeping God. I will not desert you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Every single promise that I have ever made, they are yes to you in Jesus Christ. In fulfillment of the covenant promises, Jesus Christ, as our covenant representative, has come and taken our sin upon himself and died in our place. He has brought me and bought me out of the slave market of sin and has brought me into our loving relationship. So singing of the covenant Lord causes the psalmist to reflect upon the relationship that we have. If we're lacking in confidence, it's good to know that the God to whom we come is the strong and the mighty one. But not just a strong and mighty impersonal force out there, but that he is the personal God who has brought us into relationship and has sent his Son to die for us. Not just mightiness, transcendent and out there and of another world, but one who has come from the lofty mountaintop and come alongside us and is engaged with us and has brought us into relationship with himself. If you are a Christian, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and today you are as near to God as Christ is to God, because in union with Christ flows all the benefits of Christ to his people. David says, apart from you, covenant Lord, I have no good thing. Now, David is not trying to devalue the importance of his life, his work, his play, or his possessions. He's just putting it all into perspective. Maybe my confidence ebbs and flows the way it does because I fail to grasp the perspective of that kind of single-mindedness. Apart from you, Lord, I have nothing. Paul could say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's so easy for us, isn't it, to put our confidence in other things. Then David uses a third title for God in verse 2. Again, I say to the covenant Lord, you are my Lord, meaning you are my master. You are my master, you direct my life, you cause me to stand. So singing the name of God is reminding me of the character of God, the relationship that I am in, and the role that God plays in my life. Verse 3 is a very difficult verse to translate into English, so if we just go with the way the NIV has translated it. The psalmist here takes delight in the other people of God. Because we have been brought into relationship with God through Jesus Christ, it means that I am part of a larger family. I have brothers and I have sisters in Christ. Verse 4 then points to those who have chosen other gods. And the psalmist refuses to throw in his lot with those people or to offer sacrifices or to take the name of those false gods upon his lips in worship. Now, talk about false gods in the Old Testament probably makes us feel a little bit good about ourselves in the 21st century in our Christian walk with God in Britain. We feel kind of righteous about ourselves and we think, well, of all the sins that I've committed, that's not one of them. Let us pause for thought here. A false god is anything other than God that we place our confidence in. We can place our confidence in our ability to be people smart, confidence in our business acumen, confidence in our craft, confidence in our humble mindset, confidence in the general kind of attitude I have, that I'm a good kind of guy. If you place confidence in any other god, says the psalmist, then you will suffer more and more. There will, in fact, be a greater loss of confidence. David returns to his single-minded confidence in God in verse 5 and 6. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. And we say something similar when we pray the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day my daily bread. Give us this day my cup and my portion. The lot in life that God has given me, the lot in life that I have is secure because the giver of that lot is none other than this faithful God. In the almighty power of God, the power that God has used in raising Jesus Christ from the dead, so he exerts that same power in establishing us as new men and women in Christ. And he has made us secure in Christ. And being confident of this, says Paul, that he who began a good work in you, he will carry it on until the day of Christ. Not going to give up halfway through. Not going to leave you at the 11th hour, but to be with you the whole way through. And so the psalmist says, indeed, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely, I have a delightful inheritance. An inheritance that will never be taken away. An inheritance that is secured by something that is not of changeable value like gold or silver, but something that has been secured by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's an interesting analogy that David uses. He refers to the boundary lines, and he, of course, is alluding to the land of Canaan that was divided up between the tribes after Joshua's conquest. Now, while David was from the tribe of Judah, At this moment in time, he possessed no land. He was on the run as a fugitive, hunted in danger of death. He in many ways was like the priests who had been given no land because the Lord was their sole inheritance. And that is the experience of David. My lot, my land, my property, my possession in life is good. He didn't have any. He was on the run, no place to call home. But he still says, having been given the sanctuary's perspective, my lot in life is good, because the strong and mighty God, my covenant Lord, my master, I have him, and him alone. You can see how significant it is. My job, my home, my hobbies, my food, my drink, my play, everything good comes from the hand of a loving God who has made my walk in life pleasant. Because apart from whatever the circumstances may do to me and around me, the true perspective on life that I have been given is that I now live on the resurrection side of the cross, and through rising with Christ, my daily walk with God is in fact a new creation in Christ. Lord, why did you give me this song to sing? So that you might grow in confidence. Confidence in the God of resurrection. That throughout your everyday time, that you might sing of this confidence and become more confident in the Lord. Now, I don't think there's going to be a time when I'm going to say, okay, I've done it, I've sung it, and that's it. I'm moving on from there. I'm going to have to come back to it, because I will gain confidence and then it will slip away again. And I must come back to the Word of God. I have to sing this and to pray this in order that I might encourage my heart with these truths. You see, at the start of the season, you just don't go down to St. Mary's and sing whatever crazy songs that come forth to sing. You go and you do it every weekend in order that you might encourage them. It was only after I actually left that I realized that some of what I thought were the more quiet ones in the congregation actually went and screamed their head out on the terraces down there cheering on Southampton, and I wasn't looking at Janet. Confidence in God, the God of resurrection in the daytime, and confidence in the God of resurrection in the nighttime. You can see from verse 7 and 8 that the Lord here counsels me even at nighttime. Now, those of us who struggle with some difficult circumstances, the nighttime hours seem to be more difficult. When sleep is robbed from us, and we lie awake at night, and we struggle to have confidence in God, because it seems that at nighttime the loneliness gets worse. The psalmist has this song upon his mouth, upon his lips. I will praise the Lord who counsels me even at night. My heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. He's always there at your right hand. Your eyes may be taken often, but the psalmist here is learning, I need to keep my eyes on the Lord because he's there. If I don't see him, it's because I've looked away. It's not because he disappeared. I am always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. If you're troubled about your health, about your family, about your job, about your relationship, if you suffer from the oppression of loneliness or depression, the hours of darkness can be particularly difficult. It can become a time of fear. And God has taken that into consideration.
God knows the difficulty that we feel and the lack of confidence that we have. And in consideration and out of love for you, he has put a bit about this into this song, and he has put that song upon our lips that we might sing it. Even at night, the Lord's counsels instruct me. I look consistently to the Lord, with the Lord at my right hand. The next time I lack confidence in the Lord at night time, I'm going to have to sing this song in order that my confidence might increase. Finally, the confidence in the God of resurrection at the time of my death. Now, to help me here, God needs to get me to think about the fulfillment of this prophecy in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way really that I can have confidence in God, either by day or by night, is to understand what God has accomplished in Christ. Verse 9. My heart is glad. My tongue rejoices. My body will rest secure. There's that word of confidence again. I can rest secure because I am a new creation in Christ. The song of confidence that I have been made to sing is making a difference. The truth about God and what God has done for me in Christ, it makes my heart glad and my tongue rejoice. You see, the problem that I have is here, I won't sing this psalm. I won't pray this psalm. And I just sit with my lack of confidence. But God is giving me these tools. And he wants me to sing it on my own. And he wants me to join the people of God and sing it so that you can sing it to me and I can sing it to you. And we can be encouraged. So that our heart is glad. My tongue rejoices. Now all of this didn't take King Saul away. It didn't stop the armies from coming and searching after David. But it allowed David's heart to rest secure in what the God of heaven had done for him. The song of confidence that I have been made to sing is making a difference. Because the truth about what God has done for me in Christ makes my heart glad and my tongue rejoice. Verse 10, God says, I will not be abandoned by God in death. You see, because Christ lives, I will live also. Because of that insight that God has given us about death and the resurrection, he has made known to us the path of life. I'm telling you where the destiny is. I'm telling you what's up ahead. It is the truth of what God has in store for us in eternity. That eternal truth breaking in upon the here and now that fortifies us and gives us strength, confidence to live in the day, confidence to live through the night, confidence as we anticipate that grand and glorious future that lies up ahead. The way of life that I have been made to know is one of walking with God in confidence every day, every night, and the way of life that leads on into the future. Verse 11, and look at how precious it is. You will fill me with joy. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Where's God going to be tonight? He's going to be at my right hand. Where is he going to take me in the future? He's going to take me to be at his right hand. Notice how the psalmist links it up there poetically. In order that that might just drive home into our hearts. All the days of my life, he's at my right hand. And all the days of eternity, I will be at his right hand because of what he has done for us in Jesus Christ. The anticipation of what God has in store for us is helping us grasp the joy of His presence, because He is with us every moment of the day, with us every moment at night, in fact, at my right hand, and He's going to bring us in a day to come to His right hand. Why or how? Because Christ lives, we will live also. Is that your experience? Does it resonate with you, this little cry at the beginning here of the psalm? Lord, help me. And perhaps today that's the only bit of the psalm that you can identify with. And God says, I didn't give you this psalm to beat you, or to intimidate you, or to make you feel bad. I give you this psalm because I know the struggle that you will have with confidence. Confidence during the day. Confidence during the night. Confidence as you think about things associated with death. And I come alongside as a relational God, as a loving God, to help prop you up, to give you a song of encouragement to sing. How do we do this in a practical way? Well, maybe we just don't know the tune, Psalm 16. If we don't feel we can sing it, we can certainly pray it. And it's actually good to get out your notepads and to go down to look at the psalms that appears in your text, and then to write your own little bit in as you pray this prayer, and as you actually think and reflect upon the various things that God has said. What way does it encourage me when I think that my God is a mighty and strong God? How might that encourage me? What way do I think when I think that God is this covenant God who has come alongside me, who has put His arm around me, who has put His arms underneath me, and promises to walk with me all along the way? How might that help me? As I realize that God is my master, that apart from Him I have nothing, how might that encourage me? How might it encourage me at nighttime as I close my eyes to know that God is at my right hand? How will that encourage me to know that in a day to come, the God who is at my very right hand side is going to transport me, that I might be at His right hand for all eternity with the people of God in union with Christ because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's a song to sing. Here's a psalm to pray. Here's something that God has given us because He knows the very weaknesses that we live with. It's not to be ashamed to say that I struggle with confidence in the Lord. But it certainly would be a shame if we didn't do something about it, if we didn't come to the psalm and allow the psalm to encourage our hearts. Lord, I have a song to sing. My confidence is growing in the God of resurrection. I do believe